What's up, Big V? It is Ted West here from the Big V podcast. Special guest here to my right, Greg Jeffers again. How are you, Greg?
Good afternoon, Ted. Do I get a graduation from special guest at some stage, or are we?
You're always a special guest to me, though.
All right.
Always special. You probably should be, though.
Good to be with you, mate.
Yeah, let's do it. So, Youth League Grand Finals this weekend. We have six finals, five of them on the Saturday night, one on the Sunday. Now, before we actually get into all of this, I will say these are all live streamed. You can watch all of these at home as much as we want you to go to the games. If you cannot, these are live streamed, as they have been in previous years.
It's exciting. Just recently, only in recent years, we've got that up and running. But yes, good to have that as a staple now at this level. Full commentary?
Full commentary as well. Whew. Absolutely. We're stepping up.
It's exciting. It's exactly what this is. The best under 23 and under competition in the country.
Yep.
It has outstanding players, has done for years, ever since this came together again in, 2013 or wherever it was. This was brought back together in a unified competition. It sets the standard for the country and has been the breeding ground for our senior players at not just Big V Championship level, but to NBL 1, to NBL. And I do remember a time not so long ago that the mighty Jock Landale was running around for Geelong.
Yeah.
In VYC competition. I might have done a number on me a number of times.
Well, let's get started because there's a few guys that are in this first game that have trained and are currently training with NBL teams. We got Kilsyth and Sandringham facing off in the VYC men final. I do speak of Joe Foxwell with United, and Hamish McDonald has done some time with South East Melbourne Phoenix as well. This is going to be a close game. I don't know what else to say about this. I think it's going to be super close because Kilsyth have been there for a number of years, runners-up last year. They almost deserve it.
Kilsyth are the one to me that go back over the last 10 years, and I reckon it would be, without having the exact stats in front of me, I would have thought 8 of the last 10 final series, they are in that final four, and a certain number of those are in the grand final. So, go back to an Eltham Nutter Wadding doubleheader that we had there back-to-back years, Ted. But no, Kilsyth have always been there, thereabouts.
And well, they've always had the guys.
They do. They do.
And Cole Adnam, and now it's Ben Barrow and Isaiah Harvey. Like, they've got guys every single year that just come and perform.
And to Kilsyth's credit, that flows through into their senior team.
Yep.
That's been, for me, something I've always looked at in their senior team in recent years, that there's a group of their players coming in that team have come out of their youth side and out of their junior program. And, yeah, credit to Kilsyth. I tend to agree. A little bit of me sits there and thinks, geez, they do deserve a title. They've done the hard yards, Kilsyth, to get this stage. But Sandringham, it's a tough gig getting from third spot to get yourself to the final. You got to walk through a bunch of knockout games to get there. So full credit to the Sabres, and should be one big game out there at the Kilsyth Stadium.
Yeah, 100%. And then with our VYC women, Melbourne are hosting Dandenong, another game that's going to be super exciting. Melbourne have given themselves a week off early, and then the win over Keilor last week to get themselves into the final, whereas Dandenong have done it a little bit harder, still getting there, but done just a little bit harder.
No, you're right. And Melbourne, well, they were there in the prelim finals last year. They lost to the eventual champions, Bendigo, in the prelim final last year. Home game, lost by 4. So they're going to have a lot of their tools back again, ready to have another crack. And it's redemption time, you could argue, for the Tigers.
It is. And I think they've got everything they need to do it. They've got some girls that have played significant NBL 1 minutes coming back into this into this team. Still eligible, I believe, in future years to play youth league. But Dandenong as well, like, they got Potch, they got Georgia Taylor, they've got all these pieces as well to, I don't know if we can say this is an upset. Melbourne did finish higher.
Yep.
So I guess we can say it is a possible upset if Dandenong get them, but I just don't know.
No, I tend to think the experience that Melbourne's had at getting at this level previously, I tend to think Melbourne might be the selection for me at home to go a couple of steps better than what they did in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving to Youth League 1 men. Now, this is a bit surprising here for our grand final. We have McKinnon and Blackburn both knocked out last weekend. 1-2 knocked out. We have Hume City versus Geelong over at Geelong Arena.
As we were just saying off air, not a lot of teams would be supportive of the concept of having a week off in finals next year. Between senior competitions and youth divisions, a week off, the win percentage coming off the week off hasn't been good. But again, it just demonstrates just how close the competition's been. Hume City, defending champions. So, you know, while there is some key personnel changes from their group in 2023, that is an outstanding win over what has been a very talented McKinnon side. Geelong, likewise, they finished Final Four last year. They got through to the Final Four, getting knocked out there. But, to beat Blackburn, that's certainly a big upset from Geelong to roll the Blackburn Vikings. So I think position themselves, I think they had themselves thinking they were a red-hot chance this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be some seriously interesting matchups here. Zach McKenzie for Hume City, and then, you know, your likes of Merak. Ethan Blyth had a massive game last weekend. So there's going to be some interesting matchups. I don't know who's going to be guarding who. I don't know what the strategy is going to be here, but it's going to be super intense, this Youth League one-man game. It's going to mean so much to the runners-up from last year and even for Geelong as well to actually get into this grand final themselves.
It's hard to look past a 29-point win in a preliminary final. That they've blown Blackburn off the court. And I just like, you know, I loved what Luke Beard did last year when his comments in the media surrounding it was all about making the qualification series. And I love that. I love that. You want a fan, Luke. But when I look through their roster, you've got a large number of players that are running 15, 16 minutes deep. You know, I love that depth when it comes to this time of year. And I think coming off the back of a 29-point win over Blackburn, I think you've got, they would go in as my pick.
Absolutely, and we all know how hard it is to win at Geelong Arena on its own without even thinking about who the matchup is going to be.
100%, and you know the Geelong people will come out and support their team.
Yep, no doubt. One other team that we know is going to go out and support is the Youth League One Women, which is McKinnon hosting Pakenham. Another game I think the host nation, I think, might get over the line here.
I don't know about the host nation, but the host team might get over the line.
I'm just riled up on all these Olympics, to be honest.
One thing is for sure, the Warrior Clan out of Pakenham are going to turn up in numbers.
100%.
And they are going to make noise down there at Glen Iris Sports and Aquatic Centre. Likewise here, I think McKinnon do a great job of representing players are coming from within their association building up. They've been middle table Youth League One for a long time. But I think there's something about Pakenham at the moment, and I'm not just saying the team, the association, they've got a bit of winning going on down there at Pakenham. Yep. Winning is in the blood in 2024. Maybe in the water rather than the blood. But I'm tipping, maybe you'd view it as an upset, but I'm going to go with Pakenham on this occasion. I just think there's something about them at the moment. Everyone's got behind them. They've got a whole lot of winning going on across the majority of their teams and hard to go past them this time around.
Well, speaking of winning and speaking of Pakenham, it's been a hot topic for this Youth League 2 men's team. Now playing at Cadinia Life on Saturday night as Braden Venning has got his boys to, what is it now, 23-0 or 24-0 might be.
It'd
now.
Be 24-0.
24-0 now.
They'll correct us, I have no doubt they'll correct us on the post.
That's all right. I love that they're listening.
But Westgate was the flavour of the month.
Yeah.
All the talk at the start of the year was about Westgate, the new team in the Big V Youth. And I think there was a bit of disrespect felt by the Pakenham crew. They felt like we're undefeated as well. But all the attention was on Westgate. And that's part of being the new guys in town. Then things changed down at Westgate. And the coaching change, and it might have been a personnel change. And for 1 or 2 weeks, I think we'll worry they're even going to field a team.
Yep.
But they've got themselves organised again. They've got themselves balanced. And to come out with a 10-point win, winning the last quarter by 9 points, mind you, to make sure they got control of it. But to beat Whittlesea by 10 points, again, Whittlesea's got a lot of established, experienced players in that group. That is an outstanding win from Westgate. And suddenly, I think people might, this might be closer than what some may have expected. Pakenham, no doubt, they go in favourites, undefeated, 100%. But geez, you got to think Westgate's going to give this a good shake.
Absolutely, and I do think, as you said before, with Pakenham travelling to their women's game, it's a 4 o'clock tip at GSAC and then a 7 o'clock tip here at Cadinia. So are these teams going to travel for each other? I actually reckon they would. I reckon they would. I think the girls would come back for this 7:30 tip. I think they're going to come back and watch.
I have no doubt the women will come back to Cardinia to support the team. Whether you win or you lose, you're going back to the home stadium to enjoy the
100%.
To enjoy or to commiserate, but you're certainly, I think, going to get behind the other team.
Absolutely. And then I know that this women's team get crowds as well, so I don't doubt that there'll be a lot of people going to GSAC for that women's team too.
I know there was a lot of conversation. I know Matt Royal was doing a lot of stressing earlier in the week to make sure that the fixture worked to try and that's what this league's about, right? You want people being able to see their clubs playing. So credit to the clubs that made some shifts and changes to allow the Pakenham supporters to be able to get along and support both their teams this week.
Absolutely, super exciting. Another super exciting, our sixth game for Youth League 2 women is Western Port hosting Bellarine on the Saturday night as well. Bellarine coming off a runners-up from 2023, losing to Whittlesey, now playing away at Western Port this season.
Well, yeah, it's a fair drive for Bellarine to get to the final this year, but This is reflective of the competition we've seen this year. It's been a close battle during this final series. Western Port finishing 14-4 top of the ladder. Bellarine, credit to them, coming out of fifth spot with an 11-7 record.
Yeah.
It's been a big run for them to get there, but purely based off looking at the season's results, you've got to look at Western Port. Being at home, you've got to think they've got favourites going into this one. But no, credit to Bellarine for their charge during the playoff run. It's been a strong run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Summerfield and Aaron Rzowski matchup is going to be one to watch there for our Youth League 2 women. Very, very exciting time. Good luck to all 12 teams competing in the grand finals for Youth League this coming weekend. Now, we're going to shift to our seniors here and we're going to jump straight into Championship Women because there is much to be said about the weekend that's just gone and the weekend that is to be. As top five, Wyndham had the week off. Bulleen and Bellarine was our second chance game. And we had a fair bit to say about it before. And I'm sure we probably got a bit to say about it now.
Can I just say, we did sit here last week and say this is going to be a defensive-minded game.
I think we're pretty correct here. I don't think we did too bad.
No one else is going to stroke our egos, mate, so we're going to go with it here. But 64-54, we said both coaches have their teams incredibly disciplined.
Yep.
It was going to be a dour struggle. And to be fair to Mason Rogers, coach of the Bulleen group, I think we lent towards Bellarine. And I think, I definitely lent towards Bellarine. And Bellarine won the week before, and I thought the results for Bulleen during the season have been a bit up and down. Full credit to Mason and the ladies down there at Boomerland. To hold Bellarine to just 7 points in the last quarter sets yourself up, doesn't it? It's hard to win a tight battle if you're only able to score 7 in the final quarter.
It does. It makes it so hard. And credit to the ladies even more when you get Courtney Strait shooting only 3 of 14 from the game.
100%, and I got along to a division. I got along to other games on the weekend. I didn't get down to Bellarine to watch this one, but I think this sets ourselves up. Looking at ahead to this week, Wyndham we know are an offensive juggernaut.
Yep.
Going against the Bulleen lockdown.
It's a grand final rematch.
It is a grand. You're right, grand final rematch, and it's two completely different styles of play going head to head. I know the two coaches have got great respect for each other, but the Tuesday, it should be an absolute classic game.
Absolutely.
Down at Wyndham this weekend.
100%. And another game that's going to be super, super exciting is Bellarine versus Pakenham, a knockout game because Bellarine obviously want to redeem themselves, but Pakenham as of late, we've spoken about them before already. This is the third team in finals.
They were out, Ted.
This team specifically have been on such a high as of late. It is absurd.
Well, let's be honest. Going into the last round, Sunbury needed to beat Sherbrooke even to give Pakenham a hint.
Yeah.
And even then, everyone except Coach Rob Dealmans would have written them off and said, no, they're not beating Wyndham in the last round. They needed to win
there. That's fair.
They got it.
Yeah.
To sneak in. Sherbrooke would have been filthy, to be quite honest. Do you know how Sunbury got thanked by Pakenham on the weekend?
Tell me.
Pakenham beat them and knock them out. Sunbury's gone. Thank you very much for your help, the Jets.
Three massive possessions.
Talk to me about it, Ted. Talk to me.
Three massive possessions. I think it just sort of sealed it for Pakenham, as it was Sunbury ball, turnover, baseline out in the backcourt, Pakenham go and score, and then a Sunbury turnover again.
So you were telling me as well, though, that Pakenham defensively locked it down inside.
They did sit in a zone for a majority of the game, and I think it worked to their benefit. Sunbury still shot 31% for the season from behind the arc.
Yeah.
But I think taking away the driving lanes for Chloe Hildebrand, I think that did make a serious difference.
And Mirkovic going 7 of 12 for Sunbury from the field, and I'd assume that was all in the paint. But for her to go 7 of 12, you would like to see more shots in her hands. But I'm guessing, but again, I'm just basing on the assumption here, and you've seen the game more than I, that Pakenham would have restricted the amount of attempts she could get. If you shoot that percentage, you would expect more shots.
Well, that was that first turnover. Yeah, it was a post-entry pass that went out of bounds. So it could have been another one.
Swan Trot Pakenham. I'm going to go and...
I don't know.
Bellarine would be nervous.
They should be. I really don't know.
Well...
They're on such a high right now. Honestly, anything can happen. And so we've seen this happen multiple times in Championship Women specifically.
Nickerson is tough.
Yep.
She scores at will. Brianna Wattman is just the leader of that show. Having watched her a few times this year and the experience she's got at the higher levels shines through within this team. They run it deep. I mentioned in a few of the reviews during the season, and Pakenham run 9 or 10 deep confidently, no issues at all, and each of them steps on confidently, knows the role they're gonna execute. They know they're going to get a second or third opportunity if things don't quite go right for them early on, which is credit to the culture within the team.
They can all score.
They can all score. There's a lot of differences in this team to the majority of the clubs in the competition. Yep. And look, Bellarine, 100% go in at home, favourites to win the game. But geez, you wouldn't be resting on Pakenham just at the moment.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Moving on to the next about Division 1 women, we had Chelsea and Warrandyte come down to a thrilling last 2 minutes of game time.
Well, I headed down there to Melba College. Just sat quietly in the corner of the court with a one-year-old going berserk. But it was a good game to watch. Fantastic turnout of crowd.
Yep.
I just want to highlight the fact that we had a group of what I'm going to class as under 12 girls out of Chelsea. There was with their pom-poms and cheerleading down there at Melba.
Love to hear it.
And Warrandyte kids in the crowd making a whole lot of noise. My ears were really thankful for the squeals that were going on all afternoon. But it created a great atmosphere there at Melba.
Yep.
I have to admit, I was waiting for Warrandyte to break the game. I thought Warrandyte would pull away at some stage. Between Power Ross, she went for 31, just quietly.
Yeah.
The O'Neill sisters, and led by, you know, one of my favourites in Ellie Locke, I expected it to shift at some stage. That was heightened when Ida Crowe went down with what we understand was a knee injury, and best wishes to Ida, and hopefully it's not the worst case scenario. When she went down, here we go. Warrandyte kick into gear.
Mm.
I want to shout out Bridget Keat. Did an outstanding job with her group. Kelly Foster was outstanding with 28 points and just kept going and going and going. And for Chelsea to overcome it all and withstand a 21-14 last quarter and still get the win, I thought was terrific. They made a big last play to get a score. Warrandyte, 3.9 seconds to go, had an opportunity to win the game. Couldn't make the bucket. And Chelsea come away with a very well-deserved win and move on to next week.
Enough said.
Enough said.
Enough said.
Well done, girls.
There you go.
I think this is going to be a cracking final series as this continues the D1 women.
Well, it's going to be Warrandyte-Chelsea in the week. Warrandyte-Altona.
I was going to say Chelsea. I'll be hoping they've...
Warrandyte-Altona, apologies.
Be a funky-looking final system if they're backing up again.
Apologies. As Altona knocked out Western Port as well in the second game of Division 1 women by 19. A big win by Altona, 19 points. It was just a dominating display of the amount of offensive power that this Altona group have.
I want you to go back to the season preview, Ted, and specifically it was Altona is who I called out as my spokey in this competition. We talked about it last week again, and it was they are young, they've come through the Altona program, they've been very good in youth championship, and this was the season I thought might be the breakout. Now, I liked them a lot in a similar way to what we talked about Pakenham. There's a lot of talent on the Gators lineup. I like how Randy Shanklin gets them rolling, but I think they've got a spread of options. Again, you've got two players that went 29 points between them coming off the bench.
Yep. Both still youth eligible as well, so many years babies. To come.
I just like the trajectory this Altona Gators program is going on, and I liked it last year. I like it now. Terrific win, dominant win over Western Port from go to woe. And you know what? You know I like the Warrandyte girls. I think Altona gets it.
You reckon they can get them?
I think Altona's getting Warrandyte. I like Warrandyte. Yep. I know Paul O'Brien's brilliant. You know, Niall girls are outstanding. Ellie Locke's a gem. The guard's been dominant all year. I'm going the young'uns out of Altona in an upset.
I don't mind it, to be honest. Mulla Mullum Stadium at 6:30. I think it's going to be a thriller of a game. I think it is sort of the change of the times.
Yeah, if I wasn't interstate this weekend, this would be the game I go to. I really enjoyed last weekend's matchup, Chelsea-Warrandyte, and I have no doubt Warrandyte-Altona will be just as good. Lots and lots of good players on the floor.
Fantastic. Well, Division 2 women here. We have Wallen getting over the line against Surf Coast, 73-66. Wallen getting the opportunity to go straight to the grand final, with now Surf Coast having to host Melbourne Uni. Kyla Collins just continues to get it done, doesn't he? 22-22. I didn't just repeat that number. She had 22 points and 22 rebounds. I should be specific.
And they didn't just run her for 40 minutes into the ground either. That's, you know, 31 minutes to grab 22 rebounds. That's Annalie Maley-like.
Yeah,
if
it
I
is.
Can, that in, from women's yeah, terms, that to me is what triggers a memory there. But
yep.
Wallen have done extremely well to move themselves through the playoffs here. And am I right? They're going to host the final now. Is that
they are going to host the final?
Host
correct.
The grand final.
Yes, they will.
They've done extremely well to overcome Surf Coast there, the higher place team, and I think we'll be interested to catch up with some of these clubs and talk through the Division 1, Division 2 split and how they've found it.
Yep.
I think Wallen probably is one that I look at and think is a beneficiary of it. They probably on the losing end a bit at the start of the season, fell into this Division 2, came good towards the back end of that season, get themselves into second spot, and now hosting a grand final. Be good to review with them their feelings on it, and likewise Surf Coast.
Well, I think it would be an interesting question to ask of these for these top eight teams, specifically being Wallen and Surf Coast, how much did it benefit versing the likes of Warrandyte and Chelsea and Western Port and Altona? What was that game like for them? How much did it help them when it did become a split?
Yeah, it's when you look at it, and you go Surf Coast finished 10-9, Wallen 9-10. They're three games clear of the next best team, so they've been the two outstanding sides in this Division 2 competition.
Yeah,
but in that battle of the universities there last on the weekend, Melbourne Uni came out the victor. And if you remember, we talked last week about them scraping through.
Yeah,
in the last game,
Katie Harrington
scoring on the buzzer to win the game.
Yep,
but then they just blew RMIT off the court with a 17-point win. And keep in mind that 17-point win, despite RMIT winning the last quarter by 9 points. So they had this well in control early on, and on Melbourne Uni marches.
Yeah, look, and I think this is another team that rotate really well as well. I think Kyle Ogden has a lot of faith in his bench players. I think they can do a lot of work here. I don't know how they're going to go against Surf Coast. I honestly do think that they're going to be a bit too strong.
I think they've Surf Coast have a couple of key pieces, don't they, with a little bit more experience and established players at this level. But it's like a free hit for Melbourne Uni, given the run they've been on the last 2 weeks. It's a free shot.
100%. And I know this group that win or loss, they're going to celebrate the season that they've had. I know that for a fact. I think they're going to enjoy their night no matter what.
Well, I'm sure they're not going with the attitude they're setting themselves up for to enjoy the night.
I think they're going to go for a win.
Are you 100%. Suggesting they get an Airbnb down at Torquay this weekend? You're not writing them off.
I wouldn't put it past them. Fina, if you're listening, I wouldn't put it past them at all.
Well, look out. Let's hope Surf Coast don't rest on their laurels as you're talking here. But I do want to. I think Melbourne Uni to get through that last game as they did, and then dominate in the semi-final. They've got a free hit this weekend against the top two side, top of the ladder, Surf Coast, and the Chargers obviously looking to re-establish themselves and get what they probably deserve in their mind, a crack at that grand final.
Very, very exciting times. Championship men. Now we have two games this weekend. Wyndham hosting McKinnon. A very, very thrilling game there. And then Keysborough hosting the surging country Shepherd and Gators.
Up the Gators.
Surging Shepherd and Gators team. They upset. Did they upset? I don't know.
It's an upset.
They upset Hume City 99-95. They were down two at the end of the third. Kuiman was massive in the fourth. He finished with 20 points. 10 of those were in the fourth quarter. Congratulations to Shepparton for continuing to get through to the next stage for a team that we honestly weren't sure how they were going to go this year.
I had people in Championship Men last year suggesting that Shepparton as a D1 side and that they could step into Champ tomorrow and have been very good. I wasn't as sure. I thought they'd give it a good crack. And majority of the season, they sat around that 6th, 7th, 8th level. They came, connected a couple of wins at the right time. I thought it was an outstanding little interview by Matt Bartlett with Big V's own Maddie there at Broadie on the weekend.
Yep.
And they're just a tough team. They're battle tough. They compete. Are. They've got, that man, Matt Bartlett's been a champion of Shepparton basketball for a very, very long time. But Kuiman, as you touched on in our research notes here, absolutely huge. 10 of his 20 points came in that fourth quarter. Just look out for the look out for the Gators. They've been my little smoky this year, and I've loved following what they've done. First time in championship in 20 odd years, and they're taking it to the Metro counterparts. Look out, Keysborough. It's gonna be a big game down there at Roeville.
Yeah, it'll be thrilling. I think Keysborough are one of the better teams to bounce back after a loss. I think they do motivate themselves really, really well, and I've got pieces to definitely, you know, reorganise themselves for trainings. They've got a great coach of Nathan. They've got Jared Newby and AJ Williams, the guys who have been there for a long, you know, been around for a long time. So I think they've got the experience, but you're right, Shepparton cannot be sort of hidden under the radar here. They are here now.
100%. They are here and now. And can I just, before we move on, easy to move on from Hume City, huge turnover of their squad from 2023 to 2024.
Yeah, massive.
And I love the piece Matt Foster, the interview Matt Foster on the spotlight that was on him, thanks to Spalding. I thought that piece put together by Baseline Hoops for us was truly reflected the kind of guy that he is and why he does it, I thought. And clearly a player's coach. Yep. And build on having good relationships, and I think that's highlighted for a team that had such a turnover of players. He's got a group that he was really confident with and happy with, and I think the first couple of rounds they might have had some losses that really had some doubts placed around him. Even internally at Broad, he might have questioned where are we going this year, but Matt's been able to pull it together and to make the playoffs. I know they'll be disappointed in losing to Shep, but full credit for what they've done this year and certainly set some foundations for next year.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, look, Keysborough, it's as you said, Coach Nathan Voigt does a really good job with Keysborough. They've moved themselves up from Division 1 likewise over the last 2 years. probably surprised themselves with what they did last year, built a good platform for 2024, and here they are now. I think they'd consider themselves a red hot chance against McKinnon and get a chance to get themselves into a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the other game we have this coming weekend, Wyndham versus McKinnon. Wyndham having the week off last week, now facing McKinnon. This is going to be a thriller as McKinnon plays such like a joy. I think I like it as a joyous offense of how they play. They play almost five out. They run pretty much five guards, Shaq being... I would still consider Shaq as a guard. He probably plays more of a big in this group because of his sheer size, but I would still consider him a guard.
I think he'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd appreciate it. I'm sure he would. Matching up against Winston of Wyndham, and like they will play Atomi, and he is a pure big man, but you know, he can still guard on the perimeter. I think this is gonna be such a thriller of the game. I think we didn't really say McKinnon were gonna get to the grand final last year, but we can't count them out at all this year.
No. They caught everyone by surprise last year, no two ways about it. But Steve Wooten's a gun, Adam Anderson's a gun, Levi Smith's a gun. As you say, Wyndham with genuine size. I see Luke Pannenborg didn't play much on the weekend. I'm hoping it's nothing too serious for him, having started and not played many minutes. But as you say, Shaq can play that big role. But then they've got guys like Vandenberg being able to come in as genuine size and give a bit of a chop out. They can give some different looks, the McKinnon group. It's not... And he can finish above the rim. Let's not forget he went to North Carolina State.
He did.
Vandenberg. So, as per your wonderful notes that you've put together for us, 6 of his 7 points came from dunks. So, but they've got genuine... So they can provide different looks than most teams can't. I think they've got more flexibility than McKinnon group. And and likewise, Adam Walsh, I think it could be easily have been said this year, it's like Shepard, like with Hume City, I think many would have argued McKinnon... whole in very much a new look group compared to the one that won the championship, and question marks, can they do it with A and B gone and all this kind of thing? Made it happen. Again, probably some shaky moments early on, midway through the season, but he's pulled them together and got them into the big games, and again, they get a crack at Wyndham with the winner, of course, getting first spot in the championship game.
I think they could do it. I honestly do. I think they can get it. Another team that I think you're going to get all the way and get it done is RMIT over at Div 1 men. 115-93 defeating Gippsland. So RMIT now progressed straight to the grand final. I will say this game was not at RMIT. It was at Eltham High. We did move it for a number of reasons, but RMIT were very, very happy to accommodate this. And I believe it's going to be at another venue at the grand final. They won't be at RMIT again, which again I don't think they're fine about. They're very happy to move.
Yes, it's for the good of the league. 100%. I think it's a good thing. And whoever makes it to the final against RMIT is going to bring a crowd. We know Gippsland people support their team. They'll get on the road. But if Whittlesea make it, wherever they're playing that grand final is going to be a noisy, noisy location.
It's going to be massive.
If Whittlesea get up over Gippsland, we're going to have the Battle of the North, RMIT versus Whittlesea.
Yep.
We know what the Pacer pack are like. I'm guessing that would rule Mill Park out as an option for that grand final. But between Montmorency, Diamond Valley, I'm sure they've got multiple options they could use RMIT for a wonderful grand final venue for Division 1 men. And, congratulations to RMIT. They've been the outstanding team in this competition. We've said enough. Two triple-doubles in the one game. I can't remember having seen that in a very, very long time. But with Steve Coffey, 26, 12 and 13, and Spencer going 11, 11 and 11, which is impressive in itself, I think they go in as big favourites to that Div 1 men's grand final. They are rightfully hosting it, and it's a case of Gippsland and Whittlesea meeting again to get their opportunity to have a crack at them in the final.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Whittlesea... did it almost by committee, defeating Altona on the weekend. It was 125-85. They have 7 players that finish in double figures. They had a massive, massive 42 points in the first quarter. I think it's going to be redemption time for this Whittlesea Pacers group.
You watched the Pacer pack travel down to Traralgon this weekend.
Yeah, I think we might see a different outcome. I'm not too sure. I think we might see a different outcome as the last time they played. I know Gippsland do extremely well at home. I know Jalen Wimbley is going to be incredible. But Meek Nix Payne has been fantastic all year round. He gets consistent numbers all the time. But I think this is the time for him to show out.
So we spoke last week. The Whittlesea needed to defend.
Yep.
Now, they've done it against Altona. They kept Altona at 85. Which our defensive-minded coaches would still argue is not low enough, but with an offensive-minded team, 85 is a very good result.
Well, you twist it and say if you're scoring 20 points a quarter, you're doing pretty well.
Spot on. Yeah. Gippsland like to score.
Love to score.
They love to score. This will be a super entertaining game. If you were heading down to Traralgon this weekend to watch, 109 to 116 is what these two teams put on the board last time in regulation. Fellas, just pay a little attention on the defensive end. Just lock down a little and you might find yourselves in a playoff game, in that championship game.
Yep.
Just a little bit. A little bit of attention to the scouting notes of the coaches and we could see you come out with the win. This could go either way. Whittlesea have probably been at that second best team this year behind RMIT, but Gippsland have a number of experienced players on that lineup that have done extremely well for Gippsland. Firstly, promoting them from Division 2 to Division 1, and now to get them to this stage. But we did say that Whittlesea, I think, transitioning out of D2 was always going to be, they play a highly aggressive style defensively. And it's entertaining to watch, but geez, it'd be frustrating to coach at times. I think I'd find myself frustrated, Ted, but with the amount of points. But both teams got enough to win, no doubt about it.
100%. Division 2 men, we had Craigieburn defeating Mildura 100-90. So, no, we don't have to go Mildura for a grand final, as unfortunate as it is. Craigieburn will be hosting.
To our friends at Mildura, Sammy Gazzo, I know you'd be listening in, but there was a lot of discussion around text messages to who was making the trip to Mildura for your hosted grand final. There was a fight going on, but as it turns out, Craigieburn stepped up and got it done.
Absolutely. Grant and Vocal combined for 63 of their 100 points. I think it was Grant had 30 and Vocal had 33. So I think that speaks more than enough for what Craigieburn are capable of it and where the ball is going to go to in crunch time situations.
39 three-point attempts.
Yeah, it's outrageous, isn't it?
Not shy.
Not shy at all.
In one game.
Voice of producer Maddie there, just chipping in with commentary.
Yep. They make some. They make them as well, though.
100%.
They make them as well. They're in the 30s. They're low to mid-30s, so that they definitely make them. And I mean, there comes a point if you're going to shoot 39 threes, like, teams got to respect it. Teams got to go and close out, because imagine if they made more than 50% of them.
Well, when we look across the course of the season, and again, thank you to help Hoops DB, provided by Duncan Berg. So, Craigieburn shoot at 31.7% with 25 attempts per game. Mildura shoot at 29. They shoot 29.5 attempts per game, shooting at also 30, just under 31%. It's not an outrageous shooting percentage.
No, it's not. It's not. 39 is a lot, though.
It is a... Yeah.
39 is a lot. But, I mean, Mildura did what they could. They had 19 offensive rebounds, so there was more than enough opportunity for them to get over the line. There was ample time for them and situations in the game where they could have got it done, but... That's all right. They're hosting Surf Coast. I feel very bad for Surf Coast because they got to do it again. They got to travel to Mildura.
Yeah,
it's the second time in the finals.
Yeah, Surf Coast went up there for the first final. They're back again. And you're sitting there going, how do we fix this? And it's not just fix it for Surf Coast. It's Mildura's got to do. You've got to think of the other teams that do this travel as well. And there's no easy way around it, is there, to do it fair way for everybody. But... We always say it is a tough trip to go to Mildura and win at the hothouse.
It is.
The Mildura locals come out in big numbers. They make a whole lot of noise. They have a lot of fun. And it'll be a challenge for the Chargers. No doubt at all. It's a good win over Southern Penn, but it'll be tough to go back up to there to Mildura and secure the victory.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was almost going to be Southern Penn. They were up three at the start of the fourth before Surf Coast went for 30 points in the fourth, keeping Southern Penn to just 13. So they rolled over them in the fourth quarter there. Dexter Graham was massive.
And that's
Jason Reardon was very consistent, but Dexter was massive. And, you know, he guarded Bryce Knox Jr. At the same time. So he did fantastic.
You did speak about this last week as to how you thought this matchup would go and come out the way you probably expected it to. It's a massive last quarter, though. Down three to go 30-13 in the fourth quarter to come over the top. And that is a... love to be able to go back and watch that game tape and find out what happened. What were the changes made to see that last quarter swing so far? I've touched on it. I think I touched on it last week. I love what Surf Coast have been trying to build via CBL and into this big V competition. I spoke the same of Mildura last week, and the way they both associations use CBL as a great development tool for their up and coming players at big V level, and those players then shine at big V at the next opportunity. So, yeah, great to see these two associations go head to head this week for a spot in the final.
Very, very exciting. That'll be all for us over at Big V Land. You got Youth League Grand Finals this coming weekend, finals everywhere else. Keep it locked, Big V Basketball. Let's
not forget the Big V Awards night, Ted.
Very sorry, yes.
Which is one of your big babies. So, Big V Awards night, Timber Yard, Saturday, September 14.
Correct.
Make sure you get your tickets.
Yep.
Bit of a different format this year, so that while everyone will be there together, we're doing senior awards together and then youth awards together.
Correct.
Certainly got the ability to hang around and watch both.
Correct.
But there'll be a separate area where you can go and, let's call it, socialise.
Yep.
So those that want to be able to listen and hear and see the presentation of awards, you'll be able to do so in a more listener-friendly setting.
Yep.
And then there'll be a separate social area. And having seen it in action for the NBL One South Awards on Friday night, fantastic venue. And should, I think, hopefully accommodate the wishes of everybody who wants to be at the Big V Awards, from socialising to recognising the award winners.
Yeah, 100%. That's what the night's about. We want to recognise those winners as much as possible and give them the respect that they're due. So...
with that, I love this time of year. It's exciting. So many good games. Make sure you get out and watch this weekend. There's some games in there in particular I think will be absolutely fantastic to watch and great value of your time and money. Thank you once again, Ted. Been a lot of fun. Look forward to being back here next week.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, mate.
We'll have some youth championship... some youth division winners.
Yeah.
And we'll also be looking towards the grand finals.
100%.
Division 1 and 2.
Absolutely. We'll catch you later.